This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been waiting for you. And today we're going to continue our series, and this week we're wrapping it up. But the name of this series is The Rapture of the Antichrist and the Tribulation. It is 20 parts. My friends, it is just jam-packed about what the Bible says about the rapture of the Antichrist and the tribulation and what happens next. And it comes in all kinds of formats with a study guide, so you can read all the material while you're seeing or hearing the series. And we're offering you my book, 464 pages from cover to cover. It is just beautifully illustrated, and the illustrations will really pull you into the text. And the text is very easy to read. It's very understandable. And we really dive into what the Bible says about the rapture of the Antichrist, the tribulation, and end times countdown, and what happens next. And again, this week is the last week that we're offering this on the program. So please order yours and order several, because I'm really sure this is a book you're going to want to share with someone else. And you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And please let us know how to pray for you, because we're waiting to pray for you right now. Just call the number on the screen, and please write that number down and save it. Keep it nearby so that if you ever have a need in your life, you know a number to call. We want to be the people to pray with you. Just call that number or send us an email. And when we hear from you, we're going to release our faith, and Jesus is really going to do something wonderful for you. And if you're a partner, thank you for being a partner with our ministry. You're helping us to take the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. And if you're not a partner, please become a partner. You can do that by calling us or by going online. But reach for your Bible. And today we're going to see what Jesus said about the rapture of the church. So far, we've seen a lot of what the Apostle Paul had to say about the rapture of the church. And we've seen in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, that he called the rapture a mystery. Well, when you go into the four Gospels, you find that Jesus also spoke about the rapture of the church. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin in verse 37 and read through 39. And in these verses, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, if we just stopped right there, that's a whole message by itself. Because Jesus said whatever was happening in the world before the flood is exactly going to be replicated again just before the end of the age, when Jesus comes for the church, and then when Jesus comes at the end of the seven-year tribulation in his second coming. So we need to know what was happening in the world in the days before the flood, because Jesus said it's going to be replicated again at the very end of the age. And that's why you also need to order my book, which is called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. And in this beautifully illustrated book, I talk about all the things that were happening in the world before the flood and why God sent the flood. But Jesus said again, beginning in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And we know that in the days of Noah, Noah was preaching that the end was coming. He was preaching that a judgment was coming, and people were mocking him. And we're going to see in the program day after tomorrow that Peter used the example of Noah, and he said, likewise, at the end of the age, mockers are going to arise who are going to say, "Oh, come on. They've been talking about the coming of the Lord forever. Do you really take this seriously? This is just a fantasy. If he was going to come, he would have come by now." Well, that's exactly what was happening in the days of Noah. Noah built that ark for 100 years. And in those 100 years, people mocked him. They said, "Come on, old man. If a flood was going to come, it's had time to come." And they literally were eating and drinking and giving in marriage in the shadow of the ark. Right in the shadow of the ark. And that's why the verse goes on to say For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until, and the word until means right up until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then immediately Jesus says in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And in this verse, Jesus gives us a glimpse into what will occur at the time of the rapture of the church. And in verse 40, he says, two shall be in the field. It pictures two people that are side by side. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. And then Jesus doubles the impact by repeating it again with the second illustration. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And the word taken is very important because it is the Greek word paralambano. Now listen to this. It's a compound of the words para and the word lambano. The word para means alongside, and the word lambano means to receive or to take. The word para in this context conveys a sense of warmth as one pulls another close to his or her heart. But when these two words are compounded to form the word para lambano, which is used in this verse, it means to retrieve, to snatch, to withdraw, or to warmly and intimately take to one side. And it is significant that this word which Jesus used, here translated, taken in the King James Version, the Greek word para lambano, was regularly used in New Testament times to picture a moment when one came to retrieve, take, or withdraw his inheritance. What we know from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the church is Christ's inheritance. We are his inheritance. And if you correlate that to the words of Jesus in these verses, it tells us a moment is coming when Jesus is going to descend into the lower atmosphere with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And in that moment, Christ is going to withdraw his inheritance from the earth before he pours wrath out upon the world of the ungodly. My friends, that is precisely what this word taken tells us, the word paralambano, to warmly take or to withdraw one's inheritance. But the verse goes on to say the other will be left. And the word left describes what will tragically happen to those that are not authentic Christians. They will be left. And the word left in Greek is a form of the Greek word aphiemi, which means one who is left or one that is left behind. But then again, to double the impact, Jesus repeats this again in verse 41, and he says, two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And guess what? The word taken is again the Greek word paralambano. Jesus repeats these words verbatim, and I'm going to read to you again what it means. This word paralambano means to retrieve, so you could translate it, one shall be retrieved, to snatch, so you could translate it, one shall be snatched. It could be translated to withdraw or to take warmly. So you could translate it, one will be withdrawn or one will be taken warmly. And it again is significantly the word which was regularly used in New Testament times to denote a moment when one came to retrieve, take, or withdraw his inheritance. Here we have a picture of the rapture of the church when Jesus is going to descend into the lower atmosphere and he's going to retrieve his inheritance. He's going to make a withdrawal. And the other, the verse says, will be left. And the word left again is the Greek word aphiemi. And the word aphiemi depicts one that is left or one that is left behind. And you got to keep this in the context of Noah, because we know that Noah and his family were taken. They were taken into the ark. They floated on the waters of destruction. They were literally retrieved from the earth before the bowels of water were released, and those that were left were tragically destroyed. And here we find in Matthew 24, Jesus refers to the rapture of the church. But there's another very important text where Jesus refers to the rapture of the church. John 14, verses 1 and 2. These are verses that are famously quoted at funerals all the time. But most people stop at verse 2 and don't go on to verse 3. And verse 3 is very important. But let's look at verse 1 and verse 2. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me." Then he says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." If you've been to a Christian funeral, you probably have heard those verses quoted. But let's look at them a little closer. First of all, it says, "In my Father's house." The word house is the Greek word oikia. It can be translated as a house or a residence, but it primarily pictures an extremely large compound filled with all kinds of residences. And here it is describing the Father's dwelling, the Father's compound, a large community. It also speaks of a location that offers a warm welcome and that extends hospitality to members of one's family, which means when we go to heaven, there's going to be a lot of hospitality and a lot of welcoming of us. But there's something else very important about this word house, the Greek word oikia. It also denotes, are you ready for this? A place of instruction and social interaction for those who come and those who live there. And by using this particular word, my Father's house, the Greek word oikia, it tells us heaven is going to be a huge compound filled with all kinds of dwelling places. And when we get to heaven, my friends, we're going to be warmly welcomed. There's going to be a lot of social interaction, and there's going to be continuing education. In heaven, we're constantly going to be learning. We will ever be learning when we're in the presence of the Lord. But Jesus also said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And the word mansion, the Greek word mone, denotes a dwelling place, a habitation, or a mansion. It pictures a permanent place of residency as opposed to a temporary place of residency, which means once we've been welcomed into heaven, we need never fear being evicted. It is a permanent place of residency. And therefore, it pictures a place of belonging, a place of safety, a place of security, and a place of stability. And then we finally come to verse 3, where Jesus additionally says, now listen to this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Did you see that? If you've got your Bible open, you should underline that. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." But notice Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." The word prepare means to make ready, to make advance preparations. It carries a sense of great anticipation of one that is eagerly awaiting for this event to come to pass, which means Jesus is eagerly anticipating our arrival. He's making all kinds of advance preparations. He is preparing a place for us. Either underline or circle that word place in verse 3. It is a form of the Greek word topos, which is not a figurative place. It is a real geographical location. A friend said to me, "Do you really believe heaven is a real physical place? Don't you, Rick, just think that perhaps it's just a spiritual reality?" No, heaven is a real physical place. And in fact, this word topos describes a real physical geographical location. This is not allegorical. This is not figurative. Jesus right now is presently preparing our residences. They are real. He is readying them for our arrival, and he is awaiting the moment when all believers will eventually occupy those places. And notice Jesus said, "I will come again." Now, here we have a picture of the rapture of the church. The Greek is very important. It is the word pallon, which means again, and the Greek word erkomai, which means I am coming, but as a phrase, it literally means again, I am coming. Or you could translate it, I am coming again. And then Jesus says, "to receive you unto myself." And guess what that word receive is? The word receive is the Greek word paralambano, the same word that we saw in Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41, where Jesus talked about one being taken and another being left. It is the very same word, but here it is translated as the word receive. But let me give it to you again. It is a form of the word para, which carries the idea of something that is alongside. It also carries the idea of warmth as taking something intimately to your heart or to your side. And the word lambana, which means to receive. But when you compound the words together, it means to receive or to take. And we've already seen it could also be translated to retrieve, to snatch, to withdraw, or to take warmly and intimately to one's side. So when Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, it literally means I'm coming to retrieve you. I'm coming to snatch you. I'm coming to withdraw you. I'm coming to warmly receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And here Jesus is talking about the rapture of the church. And let me remind you that this word paralambano, translated taken, here translated as the word receive, also means to withdraw your treasure or to withdraw what belongs to you. Like a person that would go to the bank to withdraw his investment, to withdraw his holdings because they technically and legally belong to him. Jesus uses this word twice in Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41. Now he uses it in John chapter 14 and verse 3, translated as the word receive, to tell us a moment is coming when Jesus is coming to withdraw the church. Again, in Ephesians 1, verse 18, it says, we are his inheritance. And my friends, when the great tribulation begins and bowls of judgment are poured out upon the earth, that judgment is not going to be poured out upon God's inheritance. God is going to withdraw his inheritance first, and then the judgment will begin. And that's what we're going to see in the next program. There is a wrath that is coming. But according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we are going to be delivered from the wrath to come. We will not be here when wrath is poured out upon the earth. Now, some people say, well, Brother Rick, I just don't understand, because in times past, God's people have always experienced hard times. That's true. They have. Israel has always been persecuted. The church has always been persecuted. People have lived through very, very difficult times, but they have never lived through wrath. Going through persecution and going through hardship does not equate with wrath. Wrath is an entirely different matter. And you're going to see in the next program, God's people will be delivered before the wrath is poured out. And in the next program, we're going to see what I mean when I talk about wrath. Wrath far exceeds anything that the human race has ever experienced. And before those bowls of wrath are poured out upon the earth, Jesus said in his own words, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41, he is going to take those that are authentic, those that really belong to him. Now we see in John 14, verse 3, he's going to receive unto himself, he's going to retrieve, he's going to snatch, he's going to take to himself his own, that where he is, we may be also. This is just so powerful. Well, let me give you another important scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to this. The Lord knows those that are his. He knows those that are his. And when he comes, there will be no mistake. Those that are authentically his, those who have called Jesus Lord and really belong to him, they are going to be taken. Those that are authentic, those that are engaged in their faith, those that are spiritually vibrant and spiritually robust, the remnant that remains to that moment, they're going to be taken. Or John 14, verse 3 says, Jesus is going to receive them, snatch them, retrieve them, withdraw them unto himself before the time of judgment commences. So if anybody ever says to you, did Jesus ever talk about the rapture? Yes, he did. But he spoke about it in veiled terms. It wasn't really fully revealed until the writings of the Apostle Paul. And even Paul said that previously to that, it had been a mystery. It was something that had to be supernaturally revealed. But my friends, Jesus really did refer to the rapture of the church in Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. And specifically in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, I'm coming again, and I'm coming again to withdraw you, to retrieve you, to snatch you unto myself. Now, if you're listening to me today and you're wondering, well, am I an authentic Christian? Let's solve that question. Just call us, we'll pray with you and make sure you're the real deal. We want you to be among those that Jesus takes, and we don't want you to be among them that are left behind. The Bible tells us that once we have been withdrawn, once we have been removed from planet Earth, great bowls of judgment are going to be poured out on the earth, but God's people will be delivered from it before that takes place. And that's what we're going to see in the next program. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked the question, when will the mark of the beast be given to people? This is a very important question because people are afraid of the mark of the beast. But my friends, the mark of the beast is going to be issued during the time of the Antichrist, which means first the Antichrist has to be revealed. And according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the Antichrist will not be revealed until first the church is evacuated. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and then, when? When the church is suddenly removed out of the way, then in that synchronized moment shall that wicked one be revealed. The word revealed means the curtains are going to be pulled back and suddenly his identity will become clear. But all of that is going to occur after the rapture of the church, which means the mark of the beast will be given after the church has been evacuated.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, an end times countdown and what happens next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries. Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London because we have an office in England and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga where Denise and I and our boys lived for 9 years, and our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 78% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part. Well, today we have covered a lot of material, but tomorrow I'm going to show you in Scripture that God's people, His authentic people, those that are really saved, they're going to be snatched, they're going to be retrieved, withdrawn, delivered before the wrath is poured out upon the earth during the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But please order the entire series, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. It is 20 parts and it is just loaded. It would be great for a Bible study. It'd be great to share as a gift with anyone who loves to study the end times. And it comes with a great study guide. And we're offering you now, and this is the last week on the program that we're offering, my book, 464 pages, cover to cover, beautifully illustrated and very easy to read. And the book is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown. And what happens next? And there's a picture of the trumpet being blown, the church being raptured, the appearance of the Antichrist. And the foreword is written by my friend, Jimmy Evans. Please order this and order several so you can share it with somebody else. But let me pray for you right now. And by the way, if you have a prayer need, call the number on the screen or send us an email so we can begin to pray really specifically for you. And Jesus is going to do something wonderful. But put your hand on your heart. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are coming to retrieve those who authentically belong to you. You're coming to withdraw your inheritance. And oh, Jesus, no wonder you tell us to look up because our redemption draws near. Lord, I thank you that you're not going to leave us here to suffer with the unjust, but you're going to retrieve us and withdraw us before wrath is poured out. And I say thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be back tomorrow. Don't miss it. It's going to really be good tomorrow. But until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.